May the Lord help us to commence by singing the hymn on the hymn sheet. There is a day, 'tis hastening on, when Zion's God shall purge his floor. His own elect shall then be known, for he shall count those jewels o'er. The hymn on the hymn sheet.
from the Holy Word of God. We'll read together the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 38. Isaiah, chapter 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed, and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? May God bless that reading from his holy word to us. May he help us and teach us how to pray. Kind and gracious and most merciful Lord, we thank thee for gathering us once more in this house of prayer. And Lord, we thank thee for the privilege afforded to us to meet around thy open word. And we pray, Lord, that thou bless that reading of thy word to us each. And we pray, Lord, that thou grant thy blessing to rest upon the service here this evening. We plead thy presence to be known among us. We pray, Lord, that there might be that outpouring of thy Spirit upon us. We pray, Lord, that the power of God might be made known in our worship, that he may take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Lord, we pray thy blessing. We pray, Lord, that thou look upon us in our need this evening. Lord, thou knowest what need we have as we gather for a midweek service. Lord, thou knowest the difficulties that we face with our minds busy from the day's events. Lord, the things that have taken place in each of our lives this day. Lord, we do not meet on a weekend. We do not meet on the Lord's Day. Lord, we gather for worship. And we pray, Lord, that thou would grant us the help we need. Lord, that our minds might be drawn unto thee. That thou art, Lord, help us to lay aside the things of the day. That thou art deliver us from the busyness of our thoughts. And Lord, that thou art grant us that quietness in our minds as we come before thee now in worship. Lord, we stand in need of thy help. That thou wilt put in each of our hearts a spirit of real worship. For, Lord, thy word declares that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Lord, that we may, Lord, know what it is to be led by thy spirit and taught by thy spirit. That thou teach us our need, and that thou lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that we might be drawn in our affections and our desires away from the dying things of this world, and that our minds might be set on things above. Lord, we pray that thou deliver us from the power of sin and Satan. Lord, that thou forgive the many sins and failings in our lives. Lord, that thou forgive the wandering of our hearts. And pray, Lord, that thou cleanse us, that thou wash us and cleanse us from all sin and iniquity. We pray, Lord, that thou remember us for good, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, we pray that thou grant that gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And may there be many among the friends here who are desiring that gift. Lord, we pray that there might be many seeking after thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt work mightily. Lord, remember those that are gathered here this evening. Lord, thou knowest how they've come, those burdens that they carry, those exercises of their souls. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, the needs of each one for time and for eternity. We pray, Lord, that it might please thee to meet with them in the way. Lord, that thou grant thy blessing, that even this night there might be those tokens for good, those sweet confirmations, those persuasions, that they are numbered among thy children. Lord, we pray that thou remove the doubts, and Lord, settle the case for them, we pray. And Lord, confirm thy word this evening with signs following, we beseech thee. That thou wilt follow with thy blessing, that thou wilt be the after preacher, applying the word with power, that it might be brought back to our remembrance in the days ahead, and that it might be for thy honour and thy glory. Oh Lord, remember those unable to be here this evening. Lord, be with any detained through affliction. Lord, those who would desire to be here this evening but are unable. Any, Lord, that might listen in, we pray that thou be with them in their worship. And Lord, we pray that thou unite us in our worship this evening, that there might be that song of praise, that volume of prayer, that praise unto God this evening. Lord, we do pray, as we've heard of the affliction of Mr. Izzard, Lord, we do pray for him. And we ask, Lord, that thou would be pleased to recover him, that he might be able to come back home out of hospital. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that thou would be with him and meet with him in his need and that of his family. Lord, we ask thy blessing upon him in this time of affliction. Lord, that it might be for his real good and the good of those that are to yet hear him to preach. And Lord, we do pray that in all our afflictions and those things that are brought into our pathways, Lord, that thou wilt make known thyself in them, that we might see that in all their afflictions he was afflicted. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant the angel of thy presence, that thou wilt, Lord, grant thy presence and thy blessing, that thou touch the mountains and make them smoke. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou glorify thyself, and that, Lord, in these times of affliction and difficulty that come in our lives from time to time, we may prove they are ordered of thee for the good of our souls and for thy honour and glory. We might prove what the apostle said, that all things work together for good. We know that all things work together for good. Oh Lord, may we know it, and may we prove it. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Oh Lord, do confirm us then, even in these times where Satan would seek to take advantage. Oh, do be that wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst. Oh Lord, we pray for this cause of truth. We pray, Lord, for the children and the young people. Lord, be with them. Guide and keep them in all their ways. Lord, as they, those that have returned to school or begun a new school year in their home education. Lord, others are beginning new things. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with them. Lord, we pray that thou go before them and lead them in that right way. Lord, we pray that there may be that desire to seek thy will and thy way for them, that they may commit their way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Lord, we pray that thou wilt guide and direct, that thou wilt hedge about their ways and steer them in that right way. Lord, that they may not lean to their own understanding. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt work for them and work in them to will and to do of thy good pleasure. Lord, remember them as they grow up. Lord, do provide for them. We think of the young people and, Lord, the things that would seem to lie before them. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would bring them together in friendships and relationships that are ordered of thee. We pray, Lord, that there may be that fixing them in the house of God, calling them by thy grace while they are young in life. Lord, that thy hand might be upon them, that thou prevent them from going off into the world, from turning their backs on the things of God. We pray, Lord, that thou put thy spirit within them and glorify thyself in this rising generation. Lord, we do thank thee for the children and for the young people. Lord, may they prove to be thy children, born again of the Spirit of God and quickened into that newness of life. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember the parents and remember the friends who are in the workplace. Lord, thou knowest the challenges and the difficulties that there are increasingly in this dark and evil day we are called to live in. Oh Lord, we pray that there may be many lights shining in our day and generation, in the workplace and in the communities, Lord, that thy light might shine. There might be that witnessing of thy word. And oh, we pray that thou glorify thyself. We pray, Lord, that the light of the glory of God might shine brighter and brighter in this darkening day we live in. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember this village and surrounding area. Lord, we pray that thou wilt work in this neighbourhood, that thou wilt open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the deaf. We pray that there might be many exercised to turn in. Lord, those that have taken the free Bibles from the front of chapel might know thy word applied. They may be brought into a concern. And Lord, we pray that thou glorify thyself in this village. Oh, we pray that thou build up this cause of truth. And what we pray for this house of prayer, we pray for each local church as they gather week by week, up and down this land, throughout the earth. Oh, we pray for the prosperity of Zion. Oh, we pray that thou further the preaching and the distribution of thy word to the four corners of the earth. Oh Lord, we pray that thou work mightily, pull down those strongholds of sin and Satan, and deliver us from the power of Antichrist in our day. Lord, remember us in our nation. Turn the tide of sin. Oh, may it be thus far and no further that thou restrain Satan and in his power. And Lord, that he might be restrained and that thy spirit might be poured forth in abundance. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt work mightily. Lord, it comes back to us each personally. And that verse of that hymn, "How stands the case, my soul with thee, for heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there?" Oh Lord, we pray that thou would answer that question for us and put the question out of question. Put it beyond doubt. Say to my soul, "I am thy salvation." Do, Lord, remember us then in our need this evening. Lord, grant us each an ear to hear, a heart to receive. And Lord, do remember us as we leave. Oh, we pray that we may be taken back to our homes in safety. And Lord, we pray that the word that we hear may not be snatched away, but it rather might be sent into our hearts. It might find an abiding place. It might be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Although delivered in weakness, may it be received in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. We ask with the forgiveness of all our sins, that we might be washed in the Saviour's precious blood, that thou take all our sins away. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 591. 591. How blessed is the man who in Jesus believes, and on him can cast all his cares. A righteousness full and complete he receives, that hides all his guilt, sin, and fears. Hymn 591.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 38. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the closing part of verse 17. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 38, and the closing part of verse 17. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 38, and the closing part of verse 17. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The whole verse reads, Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. This affliction of King Hezekiah was a great day of trouble for him. We're not told what the affliction was. We're told what the remedy was, but we are told what Hezekiah felt in this affliction. It was unusual in this, that the word came, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. It was a grievous affliction. And if words mean anything at all, it was a sickness which would be unto death. And this was a great distress. But for Hezekiah was yet to have an heir. And it was through him that the seed royal should be. The scarlet line from David down to the promised Messiah. And what a burden. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord. And we're told in verse 3, and Hezekiah wept sore. Oh, friends, there's so much bound up in this, in this affliction for King Hezekiah. And you know, if the Lord sanctifies our troubles, whether it be affliction or whatever else it might be that the Lord permits to come in our lives, if the Lord sanctifies it, then, friends, there will be an outcome. And it will be for the honour and the glory of God, ultimately. And it will be for our real good. When we desire in our prayers that the Lord might sanctify something, this is what we're asking for. And friends, whether that affliction is removed, whether that burden is taken away, this ultimately is what we desire, that there will be a divine purpose in it. And those of you that have loved ones that are maybe in affliction or maybe coming into some trouble in their circumstances, friends, is that not what you desire? Is that what you ask for? Yes, of course you want. You want them to be recovered. You want the difficulty to be overcome. You want the affliction to be removed. You want maybe the providential difficulty to be brought to an end. Is it not this what we desire, that the Lord might use it, that it might work together for their good, and that they may prove the Lord in it, and that they might follow on to know the Lord personally, savingly? Oh, friends, this is the what we read of here. What a thing! You know, bound up in this, this is what came forth from it. Yes, he was recovered. He had his life extended 15 years. Yes, he was to go on and to father Manasseh and so forth, the line, the descending line. But what about this? And this testimony, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Oh, bound up in it. Oh, friends, and how often it is, isn't it, that providence and grace in the experience of a child of God is so intertwined, you can barely separate them. And bound up here. You know, some of us can testify in our own experience of this. We've entered into something and it was a temporal thing. It was something for this timed state we live in. It was a providential matter. It affected and concerned on the beginning of it entirely and only something that was concerning this life. And yet the Lord in his infinite wisdom and mercy determined it, ordained it, that it might be bound up to together with the things of grace. And here, wasn't it so? I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Oh, the mercy of God in his dealings with his dear children. Oh, the care, the detail, the mercy. Oh, the points that he brings his dear children to, at times as extremities. You know, Hezekiah was not ignorant of the token given to his greater father, King David. He wasn't ignorant of that. Maybe, friends, you have some intimation from the Lord of something. And what's the Lord doing? Well, he then tries it, doesn't he? And oh, doesn't he try it? And here it was tried for Hezekiah. Was it going to be cut off? Was he going to be cut off, childless? Was there going to be an end to the promise given to David? Was it going to come to a stop? But surely Hezekiah can sit back and rest. He can't possibly die until he fathers a son, an heir. He can't, can he? He can sit back, can't he? And relax, because it's all going to be well. But can he? And can you? Friend, the Lord trieth the righteous. Oh, doesn't he try them? Oh, he'd seemingly remove the promise that he'd given. He'd seemingly remove it from him. And oh, friends, how the Lord knows what he's doing when he tries his poor, unworthy people. Oh, they're not worthy of this trying. They're not worthy of all of this working in their lives. They're not worthy. They don't deserve the Lord to spend this time, as it were, in dealing with them in this way. Oh, they should be cut off forever, without hope. They should be dealt with after their sins. They should be rewarded according to their iniquities. But no. No, he goes to such lengths. And he goes into such detail that they will be. The fiery trial of their faith will be for the good of their souls, for the honour and glory of God. You know, King Hezekiah, King of Judah, he could have sung that hymn we've just sung, couldn't he? How blessed is the man who in Jesus believes, or in the Messiah, and on him can cast all his cares, a righteousness full and complete he receives, that hides all his guilt, sin, and fears. But oh, there is, isn't there, that bringing to the point, oh, where all seems to be coming to an end. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And what is the response? Well, he has to cast himself upon the Lord in prayer. Friends, this is it, isn't it? And is that not the response of you? And is that the response of me? Oh, is this not what the Lord has brought it for? Oh, few if any come to Jesus, we sing, till reduced to self-despair. Oh, there isn't a need to be in these things. Oh, will it be? Will it be to exercise your soul? Will it be that you're brought to cry out for him? Oh, we know the promise. Call upon me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But will you? Will you, friend? Have you? Oh, the world isn't. Oh, you have to acknowledge that they're brought into days of trouble. Does it work together for their good? Does it work together with grace? Does it work together with the gift of faith? Does it bring them nearer to the Lord Jesus? Does it work to their good? Does it stir up their heart? Does it prick their conscience? Does it bring them to fear and tremble while in the land of the living? Does it bring them to see more than just the immediate issue, but to see that they've a never dying soul and that they've got to stand before a judgment seat? And does it bring them to fear and tremble before a living God? Does it for you? And has it for you? Well, it did for Hezekiah. Oh, he says, O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things it is the life of my spirit. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Oh, he was brought to that point of feeling he was to be banished to the pit. The Lord in his mercy delivered him and brought him up out of that pit of corruption he felt he should be in. He felt he deserved to be in. He saw the Lord was just and righteous if he was to condemn him to it. He could say with the hymn writer, and if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. You are, Lord, thou art just and right to condemn me according to thy holy law, because I have sinned and I have come short of the glory of God. But the Lord would not have it so. He'd bring him to a point and then show him his salvation. Bring him to the place and then shine the light of the love of God into his heart. Oh, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. But it is really this evening. The text on my mind to bring before you this evening. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You know, friends, this is personal. You know, this isn't Hezekiah, king of Judah, praying for the men of Judah. This is Hezekiah and his God. Thou hast cast all my sins. And I wonder, is there a few here this evening? And maybe this is what you long for. Oh, what is it for you this evening? You've a great mountain in your view. Oh, you would see Jesus. You would see some preciousness in him. You would see the shinings of his face. But what do you see? You see a great mountain of sin. And all you can hear this evening is those words, for your sins have separated between you and your God. There's a great big obstacle that stands between. There's an enormous hindrance. You can liken it to a mountain. And it's come and it's there between you and your God. Between you and any measure of peace. Between you and any comfort when you think of the day of your death and a never-ending eternity. Oh, you don't see the smiling face of the dear Saviour of sinners. You see a great mountain of sin. A great mountain of sin. Oh, and does your heart go out this evening after for the Lord to do for you as he did for King Hezekiah? That he might take that mountain and take it out of the way. Oh, that he might make the mountain away. Oh, you only got to go a couple of chapters into Isaiah 40. Verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The effect of the coming of our Lord Jesus. The preaching of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, and the bringing in of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what will do it, isn't it? Oh, what can remove the mountain that stands between you and your God? This great issue that you have in your life. Oh, you need the Lord to do what he did for Hezekiah. Hezekiah gives testimony. He declares plainly what the Lord had did. Thou hast cast all my sins. Where? What's he done with them? He's taken them out of the way. Friends, you know, there's something sweet here, isn't there? He didn't put them behind the back of Hezekiah. Oh, that they might be seen again. Oh, what did he do? What did Hezekiah, in his experience, speak of here He says that the Lord has taken them, my sins, he's taken my sins, and he's taken hold of my sins, and he's taken them out of the way, and he's put them behind his back. Oh, the Lord has so dealt with them that he no longer sees them. And he says that he's taken them and he's put them behind. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The Lord has turned his back. He's turned his back on the sins of Hezekiah. He's put himself in front of the sins that were so plaguing Hezekiah. Those sins that separated between him and his God. Well, the Lord has taken those sins and put them behind his back. And he has come between. Oh, Hezekiah, he can no longer see them. And what can he see? He must be able to see, surely, some preciousness, some beauty in his Messiah, in his Redeemer, in his Saviour. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Oh, and that which his eyes could see, that which was a trouble to him, that which was causing him the distress, that which was separating him. Oh, there's no obstacle in the way now. There's no barrier in the way now. There's nothing that stands between him and his Lord now. The Lord has dealt with it. Thou hast done it. Hezekiah couldn't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. Much as we'd long to, much as we'd love to. Oh, you'd love to be able to work out your own righteousness. Oh, you'd love to put your hand to it, wouldn't you? You're so desperate that the mountain might be taken away. But you can't. You've tried it and you failed. You're like where the hymn writer says, the more I strove against its power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. You try and make one good thing, try and make amends for one thing, and you muck it up, and your sin is mixed with everything you do. And rather than the mountain being reduced, it seems to grow daily. You can't do it. You can't put them away. The Lord has set them in your view now. For peace, you've got great bitterness. You haven't got any peace, because the Lord's begun that work in you. And now you see sin and sin and more sin. And you can't get rid of it. And you can't remove it yourself. Oh, and you can't cast it. Oh, you can't put it behind the Lord's back. And you can't put it behind your back. It won't do there. Because it's still there plaguing you. You can't, it's not out of sight, out of mind, is it, with you? Oh, you need the Lord to appear. Oh, thou hast cast all my sins. It's love. Thou in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. How? Oh, the very brink, the very pit of corruption, that the place he should be for a never-ending eternity, the place where this mountain of sins testifies against him, and he's condemned to an eternal sentence of death in hell. The Lord in mercy, the Lord in love, has taken those sins. And he's cast them behind thy back, behind his back. He's taken them. And friends, what is it that we're to view this evening? What has been done? Friends, that mountain of sin for Hezekiah has been taken out of the way. Oh, it's been laid on one. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, the Apostle Peter writes, doesn't he, in his first epistle, verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things," it wasn't with money, it wasn't with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, bore all our sins, carried our sorrows, bore those sins and the punishment for them. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for Hezekiah and for every child of God. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Foreordained before the world was made to be the sin bearer of his people, to bear the sins of many. Oh, to be the one to take them out of the way, to be the one to be that sin bearer, to be made, as it were, that scapegoat who would take those sins upon himself, and as that scapegoat set before the Israelite, taking those sins into the land of forgetfulness, I remember them no more. We read, don't we, in Micah's prophecy, chapter 7, verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will," verse 19, "he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." All their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, that they're to be taken out of the way. That they're to be remembered no more. The Lord here, Hezekiah says, "You've put them behind his back. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Oh, they're to be taken away, remembered no more, blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. That there's nothing in the way, that the stumbling block, the sin that separates, that which has come between, that which has risen up from you, that has clouded out, that has obscured the view of God, a clear view of the Saviour. The Lord has said there's nothing. Oh, it's been taken away. It is no longer there. Oh, it is no longer between us. Oh, and Hezekiah knew it. He felt it by way of experience. Oh, the darkness was light. The crooked was straight. The mountain was now away. It was no more. It was gone. I will make all my mountains away. Oh, friends, is that what you need this evening? Cast that mountain upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. Casting all your care, the things that's filling your heart full of fear and care and trouble and anxiety, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, the name, the all-prevailing name of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus that cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, the fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, friends, in a gospel day, oh, may you and I be brought to look back to Calvary. Oh, to see the putting away of sin. To see the very transaction of the casting behind the back of the sin of the Church of God, as it's laid on the dear Lord Jesus, as it's put on him, as he's made to be sin who knew no sin, as he becomes accountable, responsible, the great sin bearer. It's a wondrous thing. Friends, this is where peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding, it flows from the cross at Calvary. Oh, and it comes down to poor unworthy sinners. Down as it's made known and revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The dying Saviour's cry. Oh, think of that cry. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, because sin is being put away. Foreordained before the foundation of the world to suffer in the sinner's place. Oh, to be made sin. That's why. Oh, to become responsible, accountable. Oh, the burden of guilt is taken from off of the sinner and is put on the Saviour. You know, it's that wonderful transaction. And oh, may the Lord open each of our eyes. Oh, may the Lord confirm it. You know, this is what we need, isn't it? Surely, friends. Friends, do not rest. Do not be satisfied with anything short of this. Do not give the Lord any rest until you know this, that you know what Hezekiah knew. You know, we want the assurance, surely. You know, Paul writes of the full assurance of faith. You know, people say, well, you know, you might not get it. You might not get this. Friends, pray this, that the Lord will give you what he gave King Hezekiah. That he might give you this, that you might see what he saw by faith, that thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That you might have that reassurance, that measure of assurance, that you know that all things are well for your soul, while in time and for eternity. You know, if you were to shut your eyes on this world, this life that you know, shut your eyes on everything you've known, and pass through the article of death, from the known to the unknown, that the greatest of all all tests of faith, death. Friends, can you pass through that without knowing that the Lord has taken and borne your sin? Can you shut your eyes with anything less than this? Oh, friends, I can't. When I see so many failings, so many sins on my part, you know, we stand in this body of sin. We have, if we're blessed of the Lord, by his grace and mercy, a good hope through grace, but we're still in a body of sin. That change hasn't yet come. Oh, isn't that what we need? When we're standing in this body of death, isn't this what we need? When we've the evidences of the fall, our own fall, our own personal corruption of our nature, we have the evidences all around us and in us. Surely this is what we need. And can we rest with less than this? Oh, that we might have some measure of assurance that the Lord has taken that sin, that God has taken our sin, my sin, and he's taken it out of the way. And then I must forever then be with the Lord. Oh, if the Lord gives me this hope, a good hope through grace, and it's centered around this, that the Lord has cast my sin and is behind his back, oh, then my soul can rest in the knowledge that there must be nothing that separates. Oh, I must be forever with the Lord. Oh, it must be, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? That there's no longer the barrier. There's no longer that which separates. Death might separate, but death will be the passage then that leads to the glorious kingdom of God, and there to be forever with the Lord. Oh, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. It's the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Oh, it's to sing the song of redemption. Oh, it's unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Precious to Hezekiah. Oh, how precious was the Lord. The Lord was ready to save me. He was prepared to do it. He was willing to do it. Able to do it. He was prepared from all eternity to save my soul. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the strings, instruments, all the days of our lives in the house of the Lord. Oh, friends, to know that song. Oh, the Lord to put a song in your heart this side of the grave. Oh, that he might reveal to you and give you that, oh, that blessed assurance that which stood between, that which was a hindrance, a barrier, nothing that defileth can enter into glory. Oh, but the Lord would have you in glory as a jewel of his crown. You wouldn't be robbed of a precious jewel. He'd take that sin that separates, that sin that's plagued you, that sin that testifies against you, that sin which is to your condemnation, and he's to take it away. And in your experience of it, that which was done at Calvary, he's going to reveal it to you, taking your sin and taking it away, blotting it out as a thick cloud. You know, it's not seen, is it? It's gone. And it's gone forever. But what the Lord does, he does forever. Oh, friends, may he give you and me this, the sweet assurance. And may we have the same testimony as dear Hezekiah. Oh, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, weeping, mourning over sin, a broken heart. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. How? For thou hast taken, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. May God and his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Paul Austin will preach next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening next week. Our closing hymn is number 484. 484. Perfect holiness of spirit, saints above, full of love, with the Lamb inherit. Hymn 484.
Oh,
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.